Arbor Audio presents The Only Thing Worth Dying For, How 11 Green Berets Fought for a New Afghanistan, by Eric Blem. Read by P.J. Oakland. Prologue. I met Hamid Karzai, the president of Afghanistan, at the Barclay Hotel in Midtown Manhattan on September 23, 2008, when he was approaching the end of his five-year term as the country's first democratically elected leader. Since 1700, 25 of the 29 rulers of Afghanistan had been dethroned, exiled, imprisoned, hanged, or assassinated. That Karzai had survived multiple assassination attempts since taking office was a feat in itself. Even more remarkable, however, was the journey that had brought him to this presidency. He greeted me in perfect English with a British accent, shook my hand firmly, and ushered me across the elegant room of his suite. Though it was Ramadan, when Muslims fast from dawn to sunset, he offered me cookies and coffee or tea, which I declined out of respect for his religion. Sitting opposite the president in a cushioned armchair, I handed him a stack of photographs. As he held them in his palms, he stared intently at the one on top. 11 American soldiers grouped tightly around him on a sandy hillside in southern Afghanistan. A smile spread over his face, and he began to nod as he flipped through the pictures, chronicling the mission that had changed the course of history. For nearly 2 years, I had been trying to interview Karzai so that he could confirm crucial details of his rise to power during the early days of the global war on terror, a war that Karzai and his staff, who had joined us in the room to hear their president tell his stories, called by another name, the Liberation. He transported us to the mud-walled safe houses of his insurgency, where, lit by kerosene lanterns, turbaned freedom fighters with AK-47s planned strategy with U.S. Special Forces soldiers wearing camouflage. He led me through the photos, which I had placed in chronological order, taking us back to October, November, and December 2001. I was concerned that he might not be able to recall details about the men who had sacrificed so much for both America and Afghanistan in carrying out one of the war's most dangerous and secretive missions. I wondered whether all that he had experienced in the ensuing years had erased or distorted his memories. Then he held up a photo to his staff and pointed to an American soldier. "Had there been anybody else, things would have gone terribly wrong," he said. A mournful tone now entered his voice. "Oh, some good men." "Very sad," he said about the next photo. "This is perhaps a day or two before he died." Looking closely at the following photo, he said, "This man is dead. And this man. He is also dead. And this man." "When?" I asked. "Do you remember the date they died?" "Of course," he answered. "How could I forget?" The following is a true narrative account of modern, unconventional warfare, as recalled by the men who were there. Some names have been changed to respect the privacy of the individuals. Chapter 1. A Most Dangerous Mission. He knew from experience how simple it was to move behind the enemy lines. It was as simple to move behind them as it was to cross through them, if you had a good guide. Ernest Hemingway, For Whom the Bell Tolls. Late on the night of Tuesday, November 13, 2001, Hamid Karzai and his military advisor, U.S. Special Forces Captain Jason Amerine, walked briskly down a deserted road near their safe house in the Jacobabad district of Sindh Province, Pakistan. For Amerine, it felt almost as if they were walking along a country road stateside, the adjacent, unplanted field softly illuminated by starlight. In the distance, a half mile to the west, a dull glow marked more densely populated civilization. But here, they were relatively isolated. Karzai was unarmed and wearing the traditional Afghan shalwar kameez, a long, loose shirt with pajama-like trousers, and his poise and flowing arm motions marked him as an orator. Tall and thin, Amerine had an M9 pistol tucked into the belt of his camouflage uniform. Above a coarse brown beard, his alert eyes never stopped scanning the dark fields while he and Karzai spoke in hushed tones. "I just received confirmation," said Amarin. "Tomorrow is the night. Have you heard any news from the tribal leaders in Uruzgan?"
"Yes," said Karzai. "I followed up with one of the local chiefs in Warjan. If the location we decided upon is safe, if no Taliban patrols are nearby, the signal fires will be lit as planned."
"Your men are ready?"
"They are. Word has spread about Kabul. The Pashtun are ready to join the fight."